You are listening to the Icehouse Podcast, hosting conversations with gritty Kiwi business owners and leaders and industry-leading minds.
Kia ora everybody and welcome to this week's episode of the Icehouse Podcast. My name is Briar and I am in the sunny Hawke's Bay today. We've got an event tomorrow for it's a Christmas lunch and I thought while I'm down it would be awesome to chat to Ross. So Ross is an alumni of the Icehouse. He's done our financial skills workshops and he's also right now doing our owner manager program. So Ross Hilready is an amazing business owner here locally. He is the managing director of Tile Shed. Ross, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Awesome to have you here. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
Awesome. We like to start with this question. What does a day in the life of Ross look like?
I'd love to say that I get up at 5 a.m. and go for a run and a swim and all that sort of stuff.
But be honest.
Realistically, I fall out of bed and stumble straight to the coffee machine.
Same. Thank you for saying that.
I do generally get out of bed and get up and get to the coffee machine at about 5:40. Then I sit down and enjoy the only piece of quiet I get in the whole day while I enjoy that coffee. Then have a 45-minute drive to get to the shop. I generally try and get there for our opening at 7:30. And from then I just enjoy the chaos until the shop closes at 5 o'clock.
Love it.
Every day is different. And that's what I love about business. There's no 2 days are the same. The problems are different every day. I enjoy the interaction with the tradies in the morning and then the customers throughout the day.
Yeah.
So, and then go home and try and enjoy life at home.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. That's a great answer. I love that. You love the chaos.
Yeah.
That's what I hear so often is that things are different every
day.
Don't
be a business owner if you don't enjoy chaos.
Good first piece of advice in this podcast. That's good. Can you tell us a little bit, you know, those listening, give them context around the history of the business, Tile Shed. How did it all start?
It actually started with a husband and wife. The husband was a tiler and he was installing tiles and then decided that he could make a bit more money by selling the tiles to the customer as well. So they set up a little tile shop in their shed at home, hence the reason Tile Shed.
Ah, cool.
They had it for about 14 years, grew it up to being a fairly decent little business. When me and my partner decided to move back to the Hawke's Bay, because it's where she's originally from, we were looking for something to do, and we found that the Tile Shed was for sale, and I thought, well, how hard can that be? Famous last words as all business owners. So we purchased it in 2016 and I've quietly set about growing the business from there.
Cool.
We've since tripled the size of what it was and now also opened another store in Taupo.
Wow, significant. Yeah, that's really cool to hear. And actually, I really like the perspective of a business owner that has purchased a business. So looking forward to hearing more about that experience. On that note, what is something that you'd tell yourself at the start of, you know, the first day of buying Tile Shed, what's something knowing what you know now, you'd tell yourself?
Get a really good team of advisors.
Oh, good one. Yeah,
it's something that I've learned over the years of doing business, and I've started a few businesses from scratch, and I've pretty much been self-employed since I was 18.
Wow.
Through lots of different things. And getting a good team of advisors is invaluable. When you're early in business and you're thinking, oh, I can't afford to pay accountants and lawyers and all that sort of stuff, the money you spend on them is nothing compared to what you'll get back.
Yeah, totally.
And that's something I definitely wish I'd known earlier and got a better team and that. And also, if your team's not working, change it. Don't be afraid of firing your accountant.
Yeah.
I've been through a few.
They've
got to be working for you and giving you what you need, and you will outgrow them as well. As you grow through business, the advisors won't always be able to grow with you. So, you've got to be prepared to move on and do that as well.
Yeah, great advice.
Yeah.
Can I go off script a little bit and ask you the question? I want to go back to the fact that you said you've pretty much been in business since you were 18. No. Because that's not super common. What has that journey looked like for you? What are some of the industries you've worked in? What's been a highlight?
I'd say that my first introduction of sort of being in business for myself is, it's not a well-known fact, but I'm a fourth degree black belt in martial arts. When I was 18, I achieved my black belt and opened my own martial arts school. So I had my own martial arts schools for a number of years and ran them. So they were a sideline business to doing other jobs. And then from there I had normal full-time jobs. And at one point I decided to get into doing some property development and set up my own business doing property development, buying houses, selling them, doing small sort of subdivisions, renovations, things like that. Did that for quite a few years, had a team of staff working with me. At one point decided that maybe I should get qualified as a builder, so I started my building apprenticeship underneath one of my staff. But then in 2007, the GFC crunch, I saw it coming and realised that the big boys were about to get hungry and thought it was a good idea to get out of it.
Yeah.
So moved to the Coromandel, where we had some property, and I spent all my childhood holidays in the Coromandel, love it up there. And so when I moved there, I sort of, well, building wasn't the thing to do at the time, so I had trained as an upholsterer at one point in my many careers. So started an upholstery business in the garage at home, which then quickly outgrew that, moved into a commercial building, outgrew that, moved into a bigger one, had a fairly sizable upholstery business in the Coromandel. Which then I got involved with a company from Christchurch that manufactured awnings and blinds and louver systems and stuff like that. I wanted some stuff installed in Auckland, so they asked me if I'd install it for them, so I did, which then led on to them asking me if I would set up their Auckland operation. So went partnership with them, set up the operation in Auckland, grew that from being just me manufacturing, installing, doing sales and everything to having 16 full-time staff, turning over a few million a year, with 12 months worth of work booked in ahead of them, before I decided that it was time for me to move on again. And that was when we moved to the Hawke's Bay and had to find something else to do, so bought a tile shop.
Wow. There's so much I can take from this. Like the fact that, you know, when people move to a city, I don't, you know, actually, some of those people listening to this podcast maybe, but the general person probably wouldn't go, okay, what business should we buy? Or, you know, it's in a completely different industry to what we've done. But you've obviously got that sort of entrepreneurial risk-taking side of you that quite likes the adventure that comes with that.
Yeah. And my partner hates it.
She's like, awesome. What
She's always
be
like,
the
slow down.
Yeah, totally.
Because I am. I'm always looking at the big picture, looking at what can I do, and I'm always running off down tangents going, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Oh, no, that's a bad idea. Run back. Yeah. Go down a different path. It does get on your nerves sometimes because, you know, I'm always like looking down a path and seeing how far down you know, it doesn't mean I'm going to run down their path, but I love looking at all options, all things. I'm always looking at
big picture.
I love business. I love I love sort of the interaction of what it does, and you know, for me, being on some of the training courses with other business owners, I look at them and just go, wow, that's so awesome. I want to be like that. I want to get there too.
Yeah, owner manager program must be pretty inspiring right now.
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's cool.
It's an amazing group of people, and the facilitators that they bring in for the different modules are just so inspiring and so amazing.
Yep.
It's like, wow, how do you get these people to take their time and come and do this for us? It's just really inspiring.
Yeah, it's pretty special, yeah. Eh? Yeah, no, totally. Awesome. Thank you for that context, because I was just like, okay, started things since he was 18. That's, you know, that's pretty cool. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I've had a few careers. I've been, what, a baker?
Wow.
An upholsterer, a builder, a produce manager, warehouse manager of like a big plastics factory.
Variety is the spice of life. That's good. What are you learning about your leadership style right now? So obviously you've gone through a bit of that.
Getting the right team makes it much easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it one of the things that they get us to read for the owner manager program is the book Good to Great.
Yes.
And they talk about getting the right people on the bus, and I couldn't agree with that more. I've had plenty of the wrong people on my buses.
Yeah.
And when you do get the right team and they all click and they're all working like I have at the moment, I'm really super lucky right now. I've got an amazing team. It just makes everything so much more fun and exciting and enjoyable.
Mm.
I'm not a micromanager. I like to believe that your people are adults and they can do their job and they don't need me to tell them how to do it. It frustrates me when I have to do that, because I'm the big picture person. I like to kind of just gently encourage and let them do and let them succeed.
Cool.
And it's much better when they do that and we can work as a team. And I have a golden rule that when you get up in the morning, you need to want to go to work. You know, if you don't get up in the morning and want to go to work, then it's time to look for another career or job, because, you know, you spend more time of your life at work than you do anything else. You've got to enjoy what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And,
absolutely.
And I'm lucky at the moment. I love what I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah. That's such a great answer. Very cool. So your partner's in the business as well?
Yes and no. She mostly works from home. She does come up and join and do things in the store when required and needed. I'm super lucky. I'm the big picture person who has all the big ideas of like world domination. She's the creative side. She's extremely intelligent. She's very creative. So she built our website from scratch, self-taught. She does all our Facebook and Instagram marketing. She pretty much does all of that, and she's got a real flair for design. So a lot of the design of our store is all been sort of done by a lot of her guidance along with the rest of the team.
Cool.
And when we moved stores, so we spent the first 3 years that we owned Tile Shed in a leased building. We were then lucky enough to be able to buy our own building.
Cool.
And set about doing a fairly substantial renovation to that building, which cost a lot of money. but
still getting over it.
Yes, definitely still getting over that. Yeah. But we had a vision of what we wanted to turn the store into, which is a design space. It's
great.
A very nice high-end look, where when you come in the store it feels like a nice place to be. It's not it's not a warehouse. Most people, when you think of a tile shop, you're walking in and it's just a giant warehouse full of hard tiles.
Yes.
Where ours is much more of a design space. It's designed for that sort of mid to high level clientele.
Yeah.
So which is the market that we aim for. We really enjoy working with those mid to high level clients, because they're the ones that you really get to have fun with the design.
Yeah.
You can put whole spaces together rather than just doing the bathroom floor.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Imagine. So working with her, she gets to work from home mostly because doing the marketing, everything. Also, we've got a young child who's, and we live 45 minutes away from the store, so for her to be able to get to drop them off at school and stuff like that, it's not worth her coming up every day.
Yeah.
And not having to work with each other every day is probably a blessing as well.
It's nice to have different work stories, right?
Yes.
To be able to share around the dinner table at the end of the day what happened in your day, and actually, you know, it is different, so completely. It's cool. It's really, you've really unpacked what the differences are in terms of what you guys manage and do. How do you find managing sort of, I don't know if I love this term, but, you know, work-life balance or that side of work with life and all that?
Historically, very hard, because I have been a bit of a workaholic. Like when we first took over the business, I would work from 6 a.m. till 11 p.m. I literally wouldn't leave the shop till 11 o'clock some nights, get home at midnight and then be back at the shop again at 6 a.m.
Crazy.
And that did put a bit of a strain on things, but you do what you do when you're getting something going. We've now got to a point where we have a much better work-life balance. Me and my family, we love travelling, so we try and go places a lot, and then we also do a lot of stuff, so we've got a lot of hobbies. I ride dirt bikes with my son, we walk the dogs as often as we can, my partner's into hockey, so she plays winter hockey, and then I've just been roped into playing the summer hockey with her. We get out and about. We've got a beaches nearby which we like to go to and just anything.
Sounds really balanced now. That's great. I wanted to touch on, when I was researching about Tile Shed, it's not only a retail store, but you guys also do training courses and that sort of thing. What inspired that idea?
Because we've got two aspects to the business. We've got obviously the tiles, which we're selling to people.
Yes.
But then we've also got the trade side of the business. So we're very strong in looking after the trade. So all the tilers who actually have to install the tiles, we sell all the product that they require for doing their job. And part of that is government regulations around waterproofing standards and stuff like that. They've got to be certified. So it makes sense for us to host the training sessions for the different certificates that they require. So we'll get all the tilers together, bring in one of the reps so that they can run the training certifications in order to get the tilers certified. And because those certifications have to be renewed every couple of years, it's just something that we have to do regularly for them.
Yeah.
And it's a great chance for the tilers to all catch up and have a beer and meet each other, because it's one of the trades, it's a quite a lonely trade. Most tilers work on their own. They're one-man bands.
Wow, I didn't realise that.
Yeah. It's something that why I enjoy being there in the mornings, because it's one of the only interactions that they'll get throughout the day, because quite often they're one of the last trades to be on site at the building as well. So they'll quite often be working on their own all day doing, you know, their job. So they'll quite often come in and they just need that time to talk and catch up. And so then also meeting other tilers is good for them. Those events usually come off really well. And one of the things that we do every year was we try and have a tilers event. We pride ourselves on doing some pretty cool ones. This year we've hired a live comedian to come in and do a show, and a food truck to be there to feed them all.
That's so such a great sense of community for the industry. Yeah. It's great.
We've done some pretty cool ones. We've done a place where they went claybird shooting and archery and stuff like that. We've done taking them wakeboarding at a cable park. We've done a casino night.
That's cool. I'm sure they love it. And yeah, like I said, great point of community for the industry as well.
Well, it is for our trade guys, because again, small businesses, so like one-man band businesses, they get forgotten about. You know, big corporates get to have all these events and stuff like that, and that's easy. But when you're the only person in your business, you can't have a Christmas party.
Yeah.
So this is our way of allowing them to have a Christmas party.
Yeah, I love that idea. There's a restaurant in Tauranga that books out one night in December every year, and they just do a long table, and it's for all the like one or two person businesses, and it's their Christmas party. It's like, hey, come together, pay this amount, this can be your Christmas party. You can meet other people that have got one or two people working in the business.
Yeah.
And you know, because you're so right, like those smaller businesses don't always have, you know, the big budgets and things to do like big end of year things. Yeah. So that's cool.
Neither do we, but we just do it anyway.
But we make it happen. Yeah. I love it.
And we do a separate one for our staff.
Because
our staff end up generally working a bit of that night. So we do a separate Christmas party for our staff.
Yeah. It's important to celebrate and to mark the milestones of the year. So I love it. It's good. It's good, Ross. Cool. Operating a business in multiple locations, and this is something that's fairly new, having started a new one in the last year, but it can be challenging at times. How do you manage and maintain consistency in customer service and quality, and even just you as an owner trying to manage those? How does that work for you?
Well, again, I like the challenge. That's where I really get my buzz. So we've got really good systems, which helps with having being able to set up the other one and train the new staff. Again, I've got an amazing team over there that have just picked things up so quickly and are just running with it. And they're just so bubbly and full of life, and they're loving what they're doing. And again, when you love what you're doing, it makes it easier. As far as our suppliers, I've got amazing suppliers that give me a lot of support and really good quality product. So I'm never worried about the product. It's that just does its own thing, and it's just looking after the staff. Cool. I've got a really good setup over there where I actually enjoy going over there and catching up, and the shop's right in town, so I get to go into town quite often. So it's hasn't been a challenge. It's probably harder on my partner than anything, because I disappear for 2 or 3 days at a time to Taupo to go and kind of help over there. So therefore she has to pick up the slack over here. So she grumbles a lot,
but is her name June?
Yes.
June. We like June. She's awesome.
She is awesome. We love June. She allows me to be able to do what I do. Without her support I wouldn't be able to do it. So and that's massive. It's been a lot less. Like the first sort of 6 to 8 months, I was there a lot. But I've been back in our Hastings store a lot over the last few months. Cool. And now I'm getting busy with a lot of my own things. So some weeks I don't make it to Taupo at all now. And the girls, Tracy and Lossa over there, they just get on with it. They would love to have me there more, but they just don't complain. And they just get on and do what they need to do. And they're just, and I just hope that I can help them grow a bit more. It's had a really good sort of growing year. And it's just at that point now where I believe it's about to tip over the edge to really start taking off. And that's the exciting bit.
Is exciting. That's cool. Sounds like you've got a really solid team there as well, which would take a lot of the challenge away from multiple locations.
Well, it takes a lot of the stress away.
When
you've got a team that you can trust, you don't have to worry. And you know that if there's something that needs you, they'll ring you.
So true. No, it's a good way to put it. Changing gears a bit, I want to talk about your Ice House experience, and you've done multiple things with us now, but how did you first hear about the Ice House?
I first heard about Ice House when I had a store manager that I felt could do with a bit more leadership training. And so I went looking to see, well, what was available to help support her and grow her, and came across the Ice House's leadership training program. Then looking into that, found that you could, working with the business partners, there was some Callaghan funding and stuff. So thought, oh, we'll look into that. And so sent that staff member on that leadership training program, and she got a lot out of it. She really rated it. But while looking into it, found that there was a course called Grow Your Financial Skills.
Run by
Matt Bellingham. And I thought, I really need to learn how to do the numbers better. I need to learn, because I'm not an accountant. I didn't even finish school. I got politely asked to leave before I finished fifth form. So I decided that that was probably a good idea for me to go and learn a bit about that. And accounting's always been something I thought, oh, that's just such a boring subject. But so looking at it, we thought, oh, I'll do that. And then my partner June sort of said that she'd like to come and do it too. So we actually both went along to the course down in Wellington and did it together. Which I thought was actually a really good idea, because it meant we both came away from it with the same understanding and the same enthusiasm and everything.
Yes.
And it was an incredible course because Matthew Bellingham is a charismatic presenter. Like, yeah. He made it fun and interesting and made it so easy to understand, because accounting is boring. And when accountants talk in accountanese, yeah. your eyes glaze over and you don't understand what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But we came away from it just absolutely buzzing, going, oh, this was so good, and showed us so many things. Then probably forgot it all. But
it's there somewhere.
Yeah. But then that's why when not long ago I heard that he'd created a financial skills part two.
Yeah.
And so I was one of the first to register for that, and when I was on the first course of that, because I just felt I got so much value out of that first one that I really wanted to do it again. So when he said there was a part two, I was like, well, I'm on that.
Yeah,
so,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you found that great?
Absolutely, just as good.
Cool.
And it was just, it was really good because it was a complete refresher of what we'd done in part one with a few little extras to make it just even better.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, so. It's so good to hear, and you've touched on a really good point that doing workshops with your life partner or business partner, and in this case both essentially, is such a win, because it's a really hard feeling when you walk out of somewhere and you're buzzing and you've just got all this information and you're trying to relay it and they're not getting it and you're just like, oh, I just wish you're in the room.
Yep.
To have them in the room obviously combats all of that.
Yep.
So yeah, we totally recommend that people do that, and yeah, it's it's great you've done that.
Yeah,
that
well, I'm definitely finding that at the moment with OMP. I come home after a block course and I'm just absolutely buzzing, and it's so hard to, you know,
be on the same level.
Yeah. It's like, I want to talk strategy and business and everything, and she doesn't want to talk about any of it.
Yeah, totally. That's why a lot of business partners end up doing owner managed programs straight after each other.
Yeah.
Like, because the other one comes in and goes, they're buzzing, they want to do strategy, they want to do planning, and the other one's not quite at that level. And so it's like, just go on this course and then we'll be on the same page within a few months. So yeah, totally understand. It's really cool to hear. And great that you got a lot out of the workshop. We've just had amazing reviews from Matt. He's a great facilitator, so it's good to hear. And then obviously led to the Owner Manager program for you. So what did that whole experience look like? And now you're on program, how are you finding it?
So I'd seen, obviously with looking at the different Ice House courses, I'd seen the Owner Manager program and sort of thought, well, that's well above me and where I am in business. So had sort of shelved it, not looked at it. And then this year I was talking to another alumni who had done it before, who's one of my main suppliers. And I mentioned to him about it, and he said that he had done it and couldn't rate it highly enough.
Wow.
To the point where he actually sponsored a chunk of my fees and in order for me to go.
Incredible.
So when he did that, when he offered that, I was like, well, then I can't say no.
Well, yeah.
I have to go and do it, because it just showed me that he got so much out of it to grow his business, that if I want to grow mine, then I need to learn more. And I'm loving upskilling. I'm loving learning more about business and how to sort of all the different facets of it. And because I've always loved business, but I've always felt like a fraud. So because everything I know has been self-taught and just by making mistakes, and there's been a lot of them. And so now it's time, let's stop making mistakes and actually start doing things as they should be done. And that's where my advice around getting advisors early comes from, is get those advisors, you can make less mistakes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, well, first of all, you're not the only one to say that they thought it was like the program was either above them or essentially had a bit of imposter syndrome around, do I belong in this room? I think the first day of the owner manager program feels like the first day of school a little bit. And so it's just, you know, working it all out. But, and I can imagine, you know, finishing school early, as you sort of said before, you'd probably have in the back of your mind, you know, about deserving to be in the room, but you so do, and I'm sure you definitely know that now, being on block, you know, finished up block two.
I still feel like a minnow swimming with whales.
But hey, what a cool room to be in.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I'm getting out of it, is that you know, it doesn't matter what size the business is, we all have the same stress and headaches and everything, and it's just such a amazing camaraderie. Yeah. We're on an interesting course where all the participants are male this time.
Wow.
We don't have any female participants, which is disappointing,
yeah,
but at the same time creates a different dynamic.
Yeah.
Because we've got a really interesting spread of business owners.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we're doing a lot of work actually to have more women on programs in 2024. And I love hearing the story of the alumni that actually decided to sponsor you essentially with a chunk of the cost. That is the community at work, and that is just the power of the alumni network, you know, and just the business community as a whole.
Oh, absolutely. I was really humbled when he offered that.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love it. So any takeaways so far from Owner Manager Program? Beyond the banter and the good times with people.
there's been a lot. Probably the one that I've implemented the most is really trying to work on my sleep habits and making sure that I'm actually getting into bed and getting a decent, well, not even a decent amount of sleep, some sleep.
Yeah, great.
And, just focusing a bit more on me and getting ready to sort of step back from trying to do so much. And now that I've got a good solid team again, start focusing on more of the strategy and all of the high-level stuff that when you're busy in the business with your head down just running it, like creating strategic plans and you know, values and goals and all that sort of stuff just doesn't factor into it.
Yeah.
So now it's time for me to step back and start working on all that sort of stuff because that's where the growth is going to come from.
Yeah, no, that's really cool to hear. Yeah, it's great takeaways. You've done some coaching at the Ice House too, is that right?
I'm currently doing coaching.
You are, yeah.
Yeah, so I've got Michaela as a business coach.
Yeah.
So we've had a few sessions. In the first session, probably the first takeaway was that she couldn't believe how lean we were running on staff.
Interesting.
So for the last year or two, I knew that we'd been running lean, but I didn't realise quite how lean. So we've been on a real drive to build the team back up.
Yeah.
And we're just getting to that point now where I'm really happy with the team. We've still got a couple more places that we've got to fill. And that's part of what's freeing me up again now is getting those staff members. Admittedly, over the last couple of years, finding staff was a challenge.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's really great that some of that is easing off now and you're actually able to find staff again.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely been a main sort of pain point over the last couple of years. But, yeah, good that it's freeing you up now and you've got that solid team around you.
Yeah.
Man, you just lapped up all the things from the Ice House. You've done, you know, leadership development program, two workshops, on the Owner Manager Program, doing coaching right now with Michaela. Very cool that you're sort of lapping it all up and taking your own advice in terms of getting that, you know, advisors and those that advice.
Yeah, well, it's taken me a long time to get to that point. But it's really in the last 3 or 4 years that I've really started realizing that if I'd done all of this early on, how much further ahead I would be now.
Yeah.
You know, like the cost of doing it is nothing compared to what you get out of it. And if you're not learning and growing, then you just stay stagnant and you don't know what you don't know, like they all say.
Yeah.
And nobody's perfect. So it's about learning. For me, it's about learning a little bit about everything so that you can oversee it and have an understanding of it, but you don't have to be the expert in everything. That's why you employ your advisors and other experts so that you can grow. Because if you try and grow by doing it all yourself, like I used to, you burn out.
Yeah, for sure.
Or your family suffers.
Yeah. Either the business suffers long term or you as a family suffer.
Yep.
Totally, absolutely. Well, good on you. And I hope it encourages people listening to dive into, you know, getting advice in some way to support them with their growth journey. So it's good to hear. Do you have any, I quite like this question, it's always quite interesting. Do you have any professional or personal goals that you wouldn't mind sharing with us?
professional goal to finish OMP.
Cool. Yeah, that's good. You're on track.
And hopefully grow the business to further and potentially get involved with other businesses. Because for me, that's, like I've said, I love business and I'd really love to be involved with more businesses and, cool. and stuff. Because I get a real buzz out of seeing growth and challenges, and I'm good at problem solving. If anyone ever asked me, "Or what's your biggest skill?" I would say problem solving. So that personal goal, I'm currently learning how to fly aeroplanes. So working towards getting my PPL, which came about because when we had the cyclone here in the Hawke's Bay, they closed the Napier Taupo Road for quite a considerable time, which made the drive to Taupo quite long. So I thought it would be so much easier if I could just fly there.
Problem solving. Pure example right there of problem solving. So have you done it yet? Have you flown from here to there?
I haven't flown to Taupo yet because I'm still learning. I've got to the point where I'm able to fly circuits solo. So I've been flying. So the instructor goes out with you for the first couple of circuits and then he hops out of the plane and then lets you go on your own for a few circuits. And that's quite a nerve-wracking experience you're still learning. It really brings things into perspective when you're staring at the ground coming towards you and you've got to work
it's
out.
On you. I could not think of anything worse, to be honest, but good on you for doing that because it takes a lot of courage.
So that's one of my personal goals.
Cool. That's a great big personal goal. Yeah, it's really interesting. I love that. And that would take a lot of hours as well, right?
Most lessons are only 40 minutes.
Cool.
So sort of an hour and a half once a week. I'm taking my time. I'm only doing it once a week. I don't have a lot more spare time than that.
Yeah.
I would love to do it a bit more because, like anything, when you can do consecutive days, it'll make it easier and faster.
Yeah.
But it's just a sideline thing. It's not a priority thing at the moment.
Yeah,
so,
for sure. Yeah. No, that's really cool to hear. Amazing conversation. Really enjoyed this chat, Ross. So thank you for your time. I really do mean that. To finish off this conversation, what excites you about the future of Tileshed and you in business?
Well, the future of Tileshed is that I've got this amazing team that just love what they do. And we're doing a refit of the shop at the moment to just spruce it up. It's got a lot of potential to grow further. And then obviously with the Taupo store, I'm going to be sinking my teeth into that next year to really ramp that up and grow that one. And then once that is all nice and solid, I have intentions of generating some more stores and growing it that way. And like I said, I'm hopefully during that journey find some other business interests to get into as well.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Do you know what industry yet or
up? I don't really care.
You're just passionate about business, right?
Pretty much.
Solving problems.
Interesting. Yeah, so something will come along or fall in my lap or that'll interest me at some point, I'm sure.
June will love hearing this conversation.
Yeah, she's not allowed to listen to this podcast.
No, honestly, that's really cool. Just, you know, from the minute you started speaking, Ross, it was so obvious that you just have a real deep passion for business and for community and looking after people and doing it right and giving things a go and taking risks. And I think that's great. So looking forward to seeing what the future looks like for you.
Yeah, well, like they say, I'm a serial entrepreneur, so
yeah.
I'll get myself into trouble somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I hope you have a lot of fun. We'll continue having a lot of fun during the journey of being a business owner, and thank you so much for being part of the alumni community, for your involvement in all of the different programs and workshops, and looking forward to getting more of the community together tomorrow. So it'll be good.
I look forward to seeing you at the Christmas lunch tomorrow.
It will be good. We're looking forward to it. But hey, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your personal story on the Ice House podcast.
You're welcome.